Please turn to the book of Hebrews. Now, for those of us who are relatively new in the faith, Hebrews is a wonderful epistle, and it's all about the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember now, he's prophet, he's priest, and he's king. All three, there were many people that were one or the other in God's word. King David, he made some prophecies, but he was never a priest. The Messianic Psalms were all prophetical, and some of those under the inspiration of the Lord, he wrote those. And he was a king, but David was never a priest. There's only one person in the Bible who is all three: prophet, priest, and king. I think we all understand that our Lord Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know that. We almost can say that's understood. He's God the Son. We realize that he's King of Kings. We know that. But he's also a prophet. Because a prophet, let's put it simply, a prophet is somebody that brings God to the people. It's easy to remember that. And the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, being God himself, but he actually quoted a lot from the Old Testament and he applied it. He quoted more, I believe, from the book of Deuteronomy than any other book. But he's also not just king, not just prophet, but he's a priest. Now, what does a priest do? We have Catholic priests today in the thing, but they're not really priests because they teach error. And I'm not talking against the Catholic Church. I was raised Catholic. My dad, was going to be a brother. And I have aunts that were nuns. They were missionaries down in Central America for over 50 years. I came from a real Catholic family. But I'm not against Catholics or anything like that, but let me tell you the difference between Catholicism and biblical Christianity. There's a difference. We have justification and sanctification, right? You know what justification means? It means that you are justified before God as though you had never sinned. And sanctification means not that we get the word saint from it, means that you're set apart for God in this case. Well, in the Catholic faith, what happens is you're not justified. You cannot say, I talked to my father 6 days before he died. He was Catholic. He was going to be a brother and before he met my mother. Here's the thing. I said, Dad, are you saved? And he said, Mike, Catholics don't use the word saved. Never. You have to wait until you're dead before you find out whether you're saved or not. Well, you make it to heaven, you're saved. If you don't go to heaven, you're not saved. And that's it. Here's the difference in biblical Christianity, and I got this out of the Catholic Bible. I remained a Catholic for 5 years after I got saved. And then I read my Catholic Bible, and I found out, whoa. And so, sanctified means set apart. With the biblical Christianity, including Catholicism in the Catholic Church, the Catholic Bible will teach you that first you're justified, and after, that means being saved, put it in plain English, being saved first, and then as you are saved and go on with your life, if you're still as you live, and you follow Christ closely, you become sanctified. That means set apart more and more and more. You know all the habits that you have, like some Christians that I know smoke. They're smoking, and everybody might say, oh, well, listen, some Christians drink alcohol, some don't. Some do this, some that, and some of it, might be questionable, but what happens is, as you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, those sins fall off. They're supposed to fall off. And the closer you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, they will fall off. I don't care what the sin is. It doesn't matter what it is. God is greater than our sin. God's greater than anything. Now, the Catholics don't believe that. They're not taught that. They were saved Catholics. I was one for 5 years. Well, what happened was I gradually learned that I can't go anywhere else but heaven after I die, because I not only am saved, I have the Holy Spirit of God living in me. Now, remember I told you at the beginning, the Lord Jesus Christ, some of you people know this already. I'm not telling you some of you new things, but there were people here who are haven't been saved all that long. So I'd like to tell you what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why I'm telling you this? So that you'll worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the highest thing you can do on this earth. Not save somebody's life, not be a doctor, not be somebody that starts an orphanage or any other good thing. The best thing that a Christian can do, even better than winning souls to Christ, is to worship. Worship the Lord Jesus Christ. You worship Him, you're worshiping God. Now, what is worship? Worship means that you tell God what you think about Him. And if you're right-minded, you don't doubt Him. If you're saved, you have a love that you didn't have before you were saved. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches. A new creature. You still have the old nature that hates God. I'm telling you, that old nature is inconvertible. Unconvertible. Hates God. Doesn't love God. Doesn't love other Christians. Finds fault with other Christians. Maybe you're finding fault with me now if you're in that state. I have no idea. But the thing is, if I'm right-minded with Him, I love you because of the Spirit of God in me that loves you. And God loves you. You might hate yourself sometimes. Oh, I just did that. How could I do that? What an awful person I am. And get down on yourself. Don't do that. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All means all. Remember that. Every word in the Bible is so important. When God says all, He means all. Nothing left. Don't go on a guilt trip. The devil would love you to be on a guilt trip. In fact, trip is the right word, because you'll be tripping. Every step you take toward the Lord Jesus Christ, He can't love me. Look what I just did. And please, don't do that. Look, even with other people, if you can't see your brother or your sister, if you can't see Christ in them, see them in Christ. Nobody's perfect except the Lord Jesus Christ. He never sinned, never could sin. How can God incarnate sin? Impossible. There was no sin in Him. Someone in the Bible had said that. John said there was no sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. No sin. He could not sin. Well, people say, well, why was He tempted in the desert? Precisely for that reason, to show that He could not sin. Before He began His public ministry, at about the age of 30 years old, He was in the devil. He wasn't in the devil's power ever, but He was in the desert with the devil. And how did He overcome temptation? First of all, He could not sin, but He quoted the Word of God on three different temptations. And that's the same thing that we can do when we are tempted. And by temptation, I don't mean to do something evil necessarily, but by having carnality, which we all have. We're all carnal. We have the two natures. The spirit lusts against the flesh, the Bible says, and the flesh lusts against the spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ never had that. He could not sin. Remember who he is. He never stopped being God just because he took upon himself the form of a servant and became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He's God manifest in the flesh. In fact, he said it in John's gospel. He said, he that has seen the... One of his disciples said, show us the Father and it suffices us. We want to see the Father. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, no Christian could ever say that. Ever. But the Lord Jesus is God. And he's God, and he's still God. Now, remember, he became something he never was. When he was born amongst us, he became something he never was before. He took upon himself the form of a servant, as I just mentioned. But he never stopped being what he always was. Now, when he's in heaven, he is a man in the glory. The resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ still has the marks of Calvary. Why do you think that is? That's because it's the most important thing that ever happened. That's why. It's the best thing that ever happened, and at the same time, it's the worst thing that ever happened. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross is the best thing that ever happened because it showed God, it showed us what God is. It's the worst thing that ever happened because it showed everybody what we are. We're the ones that nailed them to the tree. But the Bible says it was God, it's in Isaiah 53, God delivered him up. Now, what I like to talk about is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share something with you. Some of you don't know this, maybe, or maybe you do. I don't know. I would say it. It's in Hebrews. I want you to see the Lord Jesus Christ as prophet, priest, and king. We've already mentioned what prophet is, what a priest is, and what a king is. Now, he's the only one in the scripture who was all three. Some people were two out of three. Some people were one out of three. But there was only one, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who was prophet, priest, and king. And I'm going to make a point after we explain this a little bit. It's in the first three verses of Hebrews. Watch this. You don't know for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some people have told me it was John, the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Hebrews, because John gets right to the beginning, right to the point, just like in John's gospel and in John's epistles. He goes right to the point. He doesn't say hi. He goes right to doctrinal issues, and that's what is happening here. First word is God. It says it in verse 1, God, who at sundry, that means different times, and in diverse manners, spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, here it is. Has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's the prophet. The Lord Jesus Christ is a prophet. That's what it's talking about here in these first two verses. The Lord Jesus Christ is a prophet. Remember what a prophet does. A prophet brings God, I'm simplifying it, but the prophet brings God to the people. A priest brings the people to God. That's easy to remember that way. That's basically it. Now, king rules over all. And the Lord Jesus Christ is, of course, King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now, you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, you are following the heir in inheritance. God has inheritance, you know, for you and for me and for all who will live godly after the Lord Jesus Christ, following him. the Bible says in another place, it says you are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Some people wait for somebody to die in the family so they can get their money. Well, the thing is, the Lord Jesus Christ, he did die, but the thing is, he's rich, and so are you. You have all things. They don't even know how big the universe is. Did you know that the scientists don't know the center of the universe or the end? They don't know. Every time they send up one of those telescopes or rocket ships or whatever they have, it just keeps going. Some of that stuff's been going for 20 years at the fastest it could go. And they haven't reached the end of it yet. That's the God we worship. In fact, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that he was the one, before he became a human, he was the one who made all things? Check out Colossians. The first three chapters, well, the first chapter actually, will tell you, by him, not only did he make all things, but by all things, they consist by his hand. Even when he was on the cross, he was holding all things together. The Bible says that God has given all things into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything. All power and everything. Some people have come up with the question to say, God gave everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is God now? The same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ was before God gave it to him. There's three in one. They're all co-equal. Not one is greater than the other. The Lord Jesus said, my Father is greater than I. Why did he say that? He said it while he was here on the earth. He said it because he was a servant and he did what God the Father told him to do. He put himself in the place of a servant. Mark's gospel, by the way, is the gospel of the servant. We have Matthew's gospel. We see the Lord Jesus Christ as king. Mark, we see him as servant. Luke's gospel, we see him as the Son of Man. And in John's gospel, we see him as the Son of God. It's just a way of looking at the Lord Jesus Christ from this way or from that way. God wants you to get a whole picture, wants me to actually be immersed in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's, you do that, and I'll tell you what will happen. Satan doesn't want that to happen, and he will fix things, and the world doesn't want that to happen, and it'll fix things, and even your own flesh doesn't want that to happen, and you'll fight against yourself. The spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit in each one of us. But here's the thing with God. God wins. He wins. He wins every time. We don't see it. I know an old lady who was saved before I was. She prayed for her family, and she prayed for everybody on the street. And she died. And no, she didn't see anybody get saved. But you know what happened? People started to get saved after she died, because the gospel lived on with her, giving it to them. They remembered it, told it to their kids, told it to a lot of people, said, that old woman, she's crazy. Give me the gospel. Well, life happens to people, and they get awful sad. And when you find out, you finally find out that everything else isn't working, you are driven, maybe by desperation, but it's really by the Spirit of God. You're driven. What's the answer? What's the answer? Everything is bad. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. God knows and you don't. I don't know. I know a lot of stuff. I've been around and I've been paying attention all these years, I hope. And I'm learning more as time goes on. I'm still growing as a Christian. I've been saved for a long time. Over 50 years. Wow. That's a long time. But I've been trying to grow all that time, and I've got a long way to go yet. A long way to go. I'm just sharing the stuff that I already know. There's a lot more I have to learn. You know what? Nobody ever grows up on this earth as a Christian. I don't believe it. Some people are more mature than others, but you're all learning. And if you're not learning, shame on you. You're not reading your Bible. There's no book like it. There's no experts on the Bible. Did you know that? There's no experts on the Bible. Every time you read it, if you read it in the right way, you're learning something. An expert knows all about everything, right? Anyway, look at this. Has in these last days spoken us, by whom also he made the worlds. There's the Lord Jesus Christ as a creator, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ could say, he that has seen me has seen the Father, and upholding all things by the word of his power, that's in Colossians, he says, by him all things consist. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. Jesus Christ is God. He's Lord. He's God. There's no higher in heaven than he is. None. Remember that. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of God, on the right hand of the majesty on high. You have right here in these three verses, you have prophet, priest, and king. Remember, we just read it, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's with God the Father. And God has committed all things to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who being the brightness of his glory and so on, that's the glory of God. And the prophet has in these last days, we said this, spoken unto us by his Son, who brings God to us. The priest brings the people to God, which he did, when it says he had by himself purged our sins. That's the priesthood of Christ. And we have him as the king, prophet, priest, and king. The only one in the Bible who's that. Okay, how does that affect us? Which one is the king? Right here on the last part of verse 3. The last part of verse 3, sat on the right hand of the majesty on high. On the right hand. In other words, you might say that he's God's right hand man. You can say that reverently because it's true. He's God's right hand man. There's a man in the glory. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be human for the rest of eternity? Something that he never was before? How do you like that? He took upon himself the form of a servant for the suffering of death while he was here, and he bled and died. The reason why he had to become a human was because he had to represent humanity's sin. But he could not be a sinner because that would be not even a sacrifice. He would be unclean, and God will not take an unclean sacrifice. So he had to be sinless. That's the reason. He had to be sinless in thought, word, and deed. God incarnate could not sin. So that's why we trust him. But let me get to the point here. Anytime you start feeling down, and there's a lot of things to discourage us, a discouraged Christian, the only thing they're good for is a bad example. Now, if you want to be a good example, let everybody know all your problems and start dancing around the room. I don't care. I'm happy. I have Christ. The joy of redemption, the joy that you have because you're living in the good of something that you're looking forward to in heaven. Even when everything else is bad, you don't have to be down and stay down. Everybody gets down. I'm talking about staying down. Down for the count. He's out. Count him out. Listen. The victory that you have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he lives, you shall live also. Now you have something good to look forward to. And you must endure. The Bible says that you have to endure. There's persecution that happens. There's all kinds of bad things that happen. But you have to endure these things. And how do you do that? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou finish it. You know the rest of that one? Thou art with me. I always felt better when my dad, when I was a little kid, was holding my hand. We were walking down the street. And I knew he could take anybody that could come along. Bad dog, he could fix him. Make him a good dog. And he could do anything. My dad, I was confident. No matter how much noise that dog made or whatever, I was going to be okay. Well, it's the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said before, the best way to follow the Lord Jesus Christ is to put your toe on his heel. And when he takes a step, you take a step. And just keep that toe on his heel. Nothing can harm us when he leads the way. We sing it out, and we can get plenty of trouble. They crucified him, remember that. And all the apostles and all the early Christians, they had a lot of trouble. Some of them actually died because of the faith. But you can have the best in life, and Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. We think about these things, but I hope we're paying attention to what we're singing, because these songs are all based on people's experiences. That's why they wrote it down as a song. They wanted it to live forever, because God is the victory. In fact, there's a hymn about that. Christ is the victory. I'm not really musical, but I do enjoy what's been said and sung about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. You're never going to be God, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that everything that he is, prophet, priest, and king? Let me give you an example. Right now you're lower than the angels. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews said that he was made for a little while lower than the angels. After the trial in the desert, what happened is the angels came and ministered unto him. Now, we do not know the names of those angels. We only know the name of maybe two angels, Michael and Gabriel. In Luke's gospel, the beginning of Luke's gospel for the new Christians, you see the angel Gabriel, he identifies himself, I am Gabriel, he said that. We have Michael the archangel in the Old Testament, and so on. Only two, but do you know that you're going to judge angels? Right now you're made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Do you know that God is glorified? Why were the angels made? You ever wonder about that? They're servants. You were made, and you're a servant. But you're made lower than the angels right now. Do you know that you're going to be changed when you get to glory? It's true. The Bible says that in Corinthians, you are going to judge angels. Why? Because you're part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says you're going to reign with him. You're going to rule with him. With him. Not in the capacity that you have now. I'm lucky if I can keep my... the word luck doesn't happen. But I'm blessed if I can actually get through the day all right. And still function. That's fine. The failures of our human bodies are very apparent. And our human frailty and all that. But that's going to be going away when we come to God and we're part of the bride of Christ. When does that happen? I believe it happens. I can't be dogmatic. I can't give you scripture for it. But as soon as the rapture hits, now God's people have always been taken out of the way before God judges. He does not judge his people the same way as he judges the rest of the world in their sin. He always takes them out. That's one reason why there's a rapture, but the Bible why we believe in the rapture, but the Bible does teach, and it says so in 1 Thessalonians and so on, about the rapture, the taking away. God has never judged his people along with the rest of the world. Noah and the ark, God put them into the ark, 8 people, Noah, his wife, and his 3 boys and their wives, and all the animals. And he left the door open for 7 days. 7 days. They're all in there. He told them to get in there. It didn't rain yet. They're all in there with the animals. That must have been quite a thing. They're in there, and after 7 days, God's grace, he shut them in. Then it started to rain. Now, God separated his people from the rest of the world as far as judgment is concerned, and so on. I could go on. I won't go any more than that. I'm almost done here. You're going to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know one of the best ways to avoid depression? Count your blessings. Mm-hmm. You got any blessings? Got any blessings at all? Do you? I have relatives on their way to hell. They're not saved. I could get depressed, but I know God. I know him. I know what he's done. I know what he's done for me. He started with the worst one. He saved me. And then the rest of my family, one by one, my brother Carl dropped dead. He's a year younger than me. He dropped dead just 4 days before Christmas. This last Christmas, he dropped dead, went on the floor, cardiac thing. They couldn't bring him back. He's gone. Where did he go? He went to heaven. He's the brother that was closest to me growing up, and he's younger than I am, and he dropped dead. Well, I'm sorry about that. I'm sad, and I grieve. I think of him every day. I don't have to pray for him. I know where he is. He's in heaven. He's not in purgatory, which the Catholic Church taught. He grew up Catholic just like I did. They you know what purgatory is? They don't believe in the doctrine of salvation and security. They believe, the Catholics do, that you die and the blood of Christ isn't enough. You have to pay for your sins. You have to pay for them. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ paid for our sins. The Catholic Bible says that. I'm not talking against Catholics. I'm just telling you. I was there, I know. Now, if I was thinking like a Catholic, I'd be paying money to have masses said for my brother to get him out of purgatory, because I knew that he wasn't perfect. Well, no, he was saved. And he went to heaven. And he's in heaven right now. And he's not suffering. He's not shedding any tears for me. I'm still down here. He's happy. You know why? He's looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. The first meeting here is not a funeral, you know. The Lord's Supper is not a funeral. It's a victory celebration. It really is. Of course, we're sorry that the Lord Jesus Christ had to bleed and die for our sins. But where is he now? He came that I might have joy and that my joy might be full. That's why I'm happy. That's why I want to tell other people about it. Not because I really want them not to go to hell. I love talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they believe it, they'll be saved. If they believe the gospel, they'll have Christ. And the joy just continues, and after a while, more people will hear about the Lord Jesus because it is spread around and spread around. You know what the main thing about you going to heaven is? Not that you go to heaven. That God might be glorified. That's the real reason. The ultimate reason. You're not the ultimate reason any more than I am. The ultimate reason why God left us here is to glorify him. Let me show you something. Turn to John 17. You got 3 minutes left. Turn to John 17. This, you want to see what a real prayer is like when you want to get a look in the Lord Jesus Christ, you really can really, when you listen to somebody pray, that's how you really get to know them on it right away. Listen to what they say. John 17, this is the real Lord's Prayer. John chapter 17, I love this thing, and I never can get enough of it, and I'll just read the first few verses, then I'm done. It says, these words spoke Jesus, verse 1, these words spoke Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. The hour's come. What was that glory? What? On the cross? On the cross? That's glory? The Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree. He was made to be a curse for us. But that's not the end of the story. Remember, the resurrection followed. But he said, glorify. Was that prayer ever answered? Think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking about God to glorify his Son and glorify himself through the Son. And look what it says also on verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. Right? But he did. Everything he said glorified God. But verse 5 says, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. A lot of people say that, oh, you can't prove that Jesus Christ was eternal. I said, his own word right here. When was he glorified? With the glory that I had with thee. That was in eternity past. It's all about the glory of God. And I'm going to stop. It's all about the glory of God. Now here's the thing. I'm going to give you the secret of happiness. Right here that I found. I'm old. I've been saved a long time. You know how I'm happy? I'm happy not because of anything on the earth here. I'm happy in this assembly. I'm privileged to be here, but I'm happy because I'm glorifying God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's my purpose in being here, not really necessarily to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are you still here? How come you're not in heaven? You're saved. You're going. Why do you leave me here? Same thing the Lord Jesus was here for. You're supposed to be a little Christ. Every one of us is supposed to be a little Christ to glorify God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's why we're here. You have a purpose in life. That's why we're going out with the gospel, Lord willing, this evening. We're here to glorify God. Okay, suppose you get knocked out and you're down on your back, and how are you going to glorify God that way? By doing what Jesus would have done when he was reviled. When he was reviled, the Bible says he reviled not again. He didn't turn it back. He followed the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. One time I knew a dog that had a dog biscuit that he loved. And my daughter, one of them, said, watch this. This dog loves this dog biscuit, but the dog loves me more. So the dog, she said, get down. The dog went down, put the dog biscuit right on the dog's nose, and the dog's crying. He wanted that dog biscuit. He's crying. He could smell it. It was right on his nose. See that? That dog listens to me. That dog loves me. And then she said, okay. The dog was waiting for that. Then the dog, and while the thing was still in the air, he caught it in his mouth and he ate it. But my daughter was glorified by that dog. And even a dog can glorify its master by obedience and whatever. We are glorifying God. That's why we're here. That's why God delivered up his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his own glory? That's right. When you love God that way, every time, every thought, every word you say, every action you do, if it's to the glory of God, that's how you glorify God. And don't you think God doesn't notice it? God notices that, and he tells the angel, he says, look, see what he did? And that's just a person who was unsaved at one time. Now he loves me. And the angels say, glory to God on the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we're so grateful for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful to have him as our Lord and Savior. I wish we could just glorify thee more, and thou will give us opportunity in the future to glorify thee, to speak well of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and to speak well of thee. We need thy help to do this. Father, we can't do it on our own. We're weak. We're frail. Certainly not perfect. Thank thee, Father, for help thus far. Help us today. Help us every day. Help us to gather more to thy Son, our Lord Jesus, and to be more like him. For we ask it in his most precious name. Amen.